The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, here we are on the floor of San Diego Comic-Con. I'm with O Nips from DeviantArt, Nicole Echeverria, the creator of Off Cells, which is like a adult comic, but about basically teenagers in prison, but like in like the worst possible...
teenagers, but they're definitely young for sure. They're just felons, strange prison. So it's kind of like a mystery because... the plot hasn't progressed too much because it's taken me a long time to kind of like get the pages out. It's not my sole source of income right now, which I'd like it to be in the future, but they're kind of trying to figure out what's going on. It's got some drama, it's got some action, some comedy. It's got a little bit of everything, but it's definitely 18 plus, which is kind of interesting every time I got to pitch the comic to something.
Nice.
So yeah, but it's really fun to create it. So yeah.
The way we got in contact was through DeviantArt, and you've been a participating member in DeviantArt for quite a long time. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So I went to college to get a degree in biology because I was going to go to medical school. And so I ended up throughout high school learning how to use the digital medium in art because a friend recommended a tablet and she was part of an online community called DeviantArt. And at the time, I not only did not know that digital art existed, so she gifted me my first drawing tablet, but she told me about this online community where you can post your art and kind of like learn about anime, cartoons, and I learned all of these new things all at once. And DeviantArt was my first online art community. And ever since, like, I think that was like 2006, 2007. And ever since then, like, I've just been posting on DeviantArt, growing several comics that I've done and growing my art and my business and everything. Is just, it's been really nice using DeviantArt. So
what's it like being part of like an online community that's like so big and can be so supportive and like really can open a lot of doors to like amazing opportunities?
It's really nice. I feel like nowadays the art market is so saturated and like it's so competitive, and like a lot of people find it really hard to kind of like quote unquote make it in the art world. And I think that's one of the things that DeviantArt really does well, is kind of give a little space of the internet, space in the world, space in like even the business world and financial world to artists who maybe don't have that big of a following, maybe don't have a means to like make a huge living. They kind of give them that little push. There's little groups on there, support groups where you can like find people who are taking jobs, like, hey, I'm offering commissions, hire me for art. And they put all that information together so people that are looking for art, cool art, can go through those groups. Communities come together depending on, like, I'm a fan of this game, I'm a fan of this show. And like, I feel like that's not something that a lot of art communities do now. What? So DeviantArt has kind of facilitated that. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
One thing that I've always found really fascinating about DeviantArt is how like niche centric it can be. Like, you can find like, I really like, you know, this particular like slash fiction or something insane, and you can find like the art for that. Mm-hmm. Do you find that like being able to like focus so singularly on things can be like really helpful on the page?
I think that, I don't know that like focusing on it specifically for like the page is the beneficial thing. I think the fact that it exists in and of itself, like if you just so happen to create really niche specific things, there is a place for it on DeviantArt, whether it be by group or by category. DeviantArt has like, Some say it's a little too extensive because like when you have to like post art, like it's like 800 like groups or like, how do I categorize my art? But I think sometimes like it does come into a benefit for an artist because like there's so many very specific niches that you can find on DeviantArt. Like, I draw this very specific thing, and then you're like, oh, you draw that very specific thing. And so like everybody kind of finds each other, which is kind of nice. So yeah.
So do you think like... Because I feel like if you were going to college like in the like early 2000s, you're probably significantly younger than me because I'm an old man.
Well, I graduated 2013 okay. college, yeah.
Okay, so I graduated from college never, but I graduated from high school in 97, if that gives you any indication. So probably before most of our listeners were even born would
old
be my guess.
Age, young in soul.
I right? would definitely no. not say that. I am no, a grumpy old man. So... obviously, like, you got to come up in art, you yeah. know, with the presence of the internet being there, like, yeah. all the time. Like, DeviantArt was available to you mm-hmm. as you were first yeah. jumping into art. Do you think it would have been less attractive to you to take on, like, the mantle of I'm an artist, I'm a creator, mm-hmm. without that platform there?
That's actually, like, a really, really good question. I don't think I've ever gotten that question. We were talking about something similar earlier because, like... I feel like even, and it's interesting that I'm talking to someone who's older than me, because usually it's the other way around. So I have to explain to them that, like, back then, like, Twitter and Instagram weren't a big deal. But, like, in your era, like, DeviantArt and, like, other things weren't really that accessible either. Like, the online presence wasn't a thing. It was, like, if you were an artist, you were, like, painting on canvases and hope that, like, your art got through out through word of mouth, probably. And that's kind of how things went. And so, like, to me... DeviantArt, it was a big, like, online deal, but, like, if I compare it to now, like, the amount of internet accessibility is insane. Like, you have, like, the entire world at the palm of your hand, like, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, like, everything, and I think that I was born, like, around, like, a good time where it wasn't, like, too much online, where it was, like, affecting my mindset, because I think nowadays young artists, like, when they start, because they have so much access to that online, they start getting, like, they start doubting themselves already at, like, 11 years old, and you're like, dude, you haven't even, like, go pick your boogers and ride a scooter, like, go climb a tree and fall off, like, they're at, like, 9 years old with an iPad already worried about their art career. I'm like, you, because they're getting, like, technology so early on, so, like, I was able to live a life outside my house without technology, but then grow up, develop my art a little bit, and then have that technology given to me later on, not in such crucial parts of my development. So I think I was very lucky for that, and I think if I had been born earlier, I probably would have not taken on the mantle of an artist, just because, like, a lot of, like, the artist in me full-time came from already having a platform. So, like, I did study biology in college to go to medical school, and that was something that I, like, wanted to do. Was it because my parents told me to do, like, I miss science, but they never let me have a job. And so, like, I put my stuff online, and I found out you yeah. could sell your stuff online, and that's how I grew my presence. And by the time I graduated, I had enough presence that I could make it a living. And that's kind of how I transitioned. So if it had not been for that online presence, I don't know if I would be doing art for a living. So it really did make a huge difference for me. And I think it's going to be different for every era. Like, it's incredible how, like, a social presence and just, like, that connection online makes a difference for not just art, but, like, all sorts of careers. So that's a very good question. I appreciate that question. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, hearing you talk about how you mostly, you know, reach out and talk to younger people and, like, you know, having a totally different mindset. Like, yeah. I literally didn't have the internet until I yeah. graduated high school. Like, yeah. it wasn't yeah. a thing. So doing research on, like, if I wanted to draw something, I was literally, like, having to go to the library and, like, check out mm-hmm. a book and find mm-hmm. something. Whereas, you know, with a younger generation, they're able to find it, you know, literally mm-hmm. Google image search
yes.
and then
yes.
just copy and paste, you know.
Yes.
And that's really fascinating that even you are saying, here's these, like, 10, 11-year-old kids that are super concerned about their art.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, go outside and do something.
Yeah.
And me, I see you, and I'm like, I really hope you went outside and did stuff.
No, I was born, like, at a really, like, perfect time. Like, I had a beeper, like, VHS. Like, you tell that to kids now, and they're like, beeper. I'm like, oh my God, you don't know. You really don't know. Like, Nokia phones and, like, AOL, like, dial-up and all that. Like, it's foreign. And that to you probably sounds like, oh my God, she doesn't know. Like, I mean, I had to, like, for a very small part of my childhood, I also had to use libraries because, like, we had, like, AOL kind of, like, but it was easier to just go to the library, like, write some sources or whatever. Now it's like, you have, like, all those collections of those books and files and everything, like, online, and you can just look them up and, like, credit them like that. So you don't even have to set foot in a library.
Well, and it's not even just, like, online at a computer at your house. It's, like, in my pocket. Like,
yes.
It's on my phone
that's
in my pocket.
That's kind of frightening. Yeah. And it, like, gets, like, better or worse, however you want to look at it, every year. And like
it's better or worse. We can think
worse?
Of it as
yeah.
better or worse.
It's about how you use it, right? It's
yeah,
like the first way.
Really
yeah.
is. So talk to me a little bit about Off-Cell and like the comic book.
Oh,
like, because like you're not going to embarrass me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I read adult comics
mm-hmm.
a lot. Like there was a point in time where I got a box of comic books
mm-hmm.
from one of my friends who was just like, you know, mm-hmm. I found these in my uncle's basement
yeah.
or whatever. And I was having my son help me alphabetize them and he literally found porn comics.
Oh,
so like I'm
no.
not, it's not going to embarrass me.
No.
But how did you come about to like creating like kind of an 18 plus like adult comic book?
Well, I typically, a lot of my content gravitates towards like more like erotic, like 18 plus already. Drawing the human figure, the human body has always been like my favorite thing. So like naturally the things I create will gravitate towards that. So like when I was making this comic, naturally like the themes tended to go towards like very like sensitive topics, adult themes. And like when it came time to like show the explicitness of whatever it was, whether it be like gore or sex or like nudity, like I was like, I'm gonna show it. Like that's what I want to do and I'm gonna show it. And like I don't really, I think I have like the luck, because a lot of people will be like, oh, I want to get published and everything, but publishers come with a lot of restrictions. And a lot of the times, like I have friends who are published and are like, oh, but I can't show that, I can't have this theme, and if I do have this theme, I can't write it this way, or I have to change the design of this character because they say that I have to. And like I feel like that would make me really sad as a creator. Like, so I'm really glad that I'm self, like, I don't know if publish is the right term, because like I just print it. Like I just go to a printing press, draw it, and like draw and like print it. I think there's a lot of other legal processes that go into saying that you're published. But I print it myself, I'm self-printed, so I have no restrictions, and people love that, and it's free to read, which I think is like a huge plus. Like I print the comics so that people can have the art in their hands, because I'm one of those, like, I like to have it in my hand. I like to flip through the pages and, like, hold the book, bend the book, and, like, look through all the, I put little sketches in the back to make it kind of like a more personal touch, like if you do want the physical copy. But I do want my content to be free for those to read, so, like, if they want to go online and read it, they can. It is a little bit weird creating 18 plus content, because I am cutting off a huge chunk of people that should not be reading my comic. Like, and it's really, I'll tell you something about Off-Cell, which is like, so it has the S in the end because like the social media was taken. So I added an S in the end of the Twitter. Yeah. Long story there. But so the comic is designed where the characters are drawn constantly. So like people kind of like have become enamored with the characters, but because I draw them this kind of like specific way and like they become like lovable, they forget that this is an 18 plus comic. So like I have to put it in the bios everywhere, because like I'll get people who will like consume the social media content and they'll be like, oh, but I'm like 14. And I'm like, what are you doing here? No, like no. So like the art style sometimes is like a dissonance from like the actual storytelling, which is really interesting. Like And I think that comes from, like, a lot of people will read my comic and tell me that, oh, it looks like a blend between, like, anime and, like, American comics.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, anime storytelling tends to gravitate towards, like, a younger audience. But I like the comedic humor and depiction in anime. So I mix that with, like, the more serious topics. And then you get this, like, I have, like, younger audiences consuming the online content, and I have to, like, warn it everywhere. Every time, like, you go on the website, I'm like, do not enter if you are not 18. Please stop consuming my content. And, like, there was this one, I'm, like, rambling. I'm so sorry.
No, this is perfect.
Yeah, yes. Cut the rambling if you have to.
Absolutely.
But there was
don't
this.
Cut that.
No, don't cut. There is this one woman and her daughter, and the daughter, oh, my God, the daughter was, like, 10 years old or something. And like that was at Anime Expo this year, and Anime Expo is at the beginning of July, and I have have some butts on my table, all right? Like, my name is Onips, all right? So we got some content on my table. And she comes by, and usually, like, I'll spot, like, the younger kids, like, passing by a little bit far away. And if they're with a parent, I, like, give them the eye so that they can, like, rush them through my table. Because, like, I don't want that, you know? Like, I don't want them to... But, like, they deliberately stopped at my table, and I was like, well, what am I going to do now? And I'm like, you shouldn't be here. And then she's like, no, but she's, like, a big fan of you. And I'm like, first of all, how? Literally how and why? But they were so, like, sweet. She's like, no, she just really loves, like, what you draw. And she was, like, looking at my other stuff, like my Spider-Man and my Luffy and all that stuff. And it was like, well, you shouldn't be looking at my content regularly, because I definitely draw some, like, erotic stuff. It was very heartwarming that, like, not just the daughter, but, like, the mom was also, like, very, like, supportive of just, like, her liking artists in general and being very artistic and, like, you know, kind of pushing her daughter to, like, be an artist and stuff like that. So I'm definitely put in, like, these very weird situations sometimes where, like, you're like, oh, you probably shouldn't be doing that. But, like, the intention is, like, very, like, wholesome and, like, pure. And I try to give them the little nudge, let them know, hey, maybe don't. But, like, also, but also thank you. So
what's incredible about it is, like, you become an inspiration. And that's a good thing. Yeah. You know, you're getting a kid to be interested in, like, creativity and art, which is, like, sorely missing. And even if it is a little risque, like, I have 4 kids. And, like, if one of my kids were to stumble across your comic, I'd be like, okay, like, you probably shouldn't be reading that, but I've already ruined you, so it's okay.
Dude, kids will get into stuff that, like, you're just like, don't do that. And they're like, what do you mean? And then they go do it more. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, what do I do? You're like, you're stuck in a hard place. Like,
we just interviewed Chris P. from Titmouse.
Yeah.
And I was telling him the story about my son, who's 15. Mm-hmm. He watched the first couple episodes of Big Mouth and came to me and was like, Dad, this show is, like, so cool. You have to watch it. Uh-huh. And I watch it. And at first I was like, Why the fuck am I letting my son watch this? But as it goes on, like, it became, like, a really great opportunity for me to, like, talk to my son about
sex. Those subjects. Yes.
So there you go. Maybe that mom is like,
it's a good way
these are boobs. That's a dick.
If you're gonna have, if you're gonna have the talk, like, especially as, like, a learning, like, a father figure, mother figure, like a mentor figure, if they're gonna do it, you might as well, like, you be the one, have the conversation, facilitate that conversation in a healthy way, as opposed to, like, they find out on the street and God knows what they're doing and, like, you know. So at least you're, like, in charge there, you know, and you can mediate that conversation, and that's great about that. So yeah, absolutely.
So how can people find you online? Like, how can people go find this trashy, this deplorable, horrible 18 plus balls to the wall pornography art? How can we go find you?
Well, my name is Nips. You can go to @onips, O-H-N-I-P-S, and it's pretty much that everywhere. So I stream on Twitch. I have a YouTube channel as well. It's a little bit more informative on YouTube. So I have, like, if you're more interested in, like, the creative side of things, commentary, like, I put stuff there. On Twitch, we just stream art live. I get to hang out with everyone. My community is so chill. Like, everybody just wants to hang out, have a good time. We do this thing called Thirsty Thursdays, where people will suggest series, like, shows. And then they'll vote on characters they want to see me do pinups of. It's one of the things I'm most known for.
That's actually awesome.
Yeah, so it's really fun. Like, they're like, oh, we want to see a pinup of this character, a pinup of this character. And then we'll just, like, sit down for, like, 10 hours and draw, like, 4 sketches. Yeah, it's really fun. And then on Instagram and Twitter, I just kind of post same thing @onips. Just, like, finished pieces. A little bit more refined, you know, but, like, if you want the degenerate stuff, come to Twitch. And then my comic is @offcells, so it has an S in the end. So, funny story about that one, if I can tell you really quick.
Absolutely.
So, originally, because Offcell was an accident, like, the comic, the creation of the comic was an accident, and it wasn't meant to be, like, an actual comic at first, like, I was just having fun with it, I made an Instagram for it, and I put an S at the end as a pun, because the original content of that Instagram was supposed to be the inmates taking selfies and uploading as if it was their Instagram. So the name was a pun, as, like, off cells, like cell phones.
Right.
So, yeah, so that was... But then eventually, like, the comic grew and it turned into an actual thing, and I couldn't get rid of the S. So, like, it was just, like, so now some people, like, think the comic is called Offcells, and then some people, this is Offcell. I never correct them because, like, that's the name. And it's close enough that it's, like, eh, like, whatever. But it's interesting because that's where it came from. So a lot of, like, the OG followers of the comic will remember that the original Instagram was. So if you scroll all the way to the bottom of the Instagram, you'll see those pictures of, like, them taking selfies, like, in the prison.
That's awesome.
So it was really fun. And, like, recently, I mean, the comic's been around for, like, 4 or 5 years now. And so people are like, yo, bring Offcells back, like, as a series, like, of them, like, taking selfies again, just like the OG, like, yeah. So I made it, I made the Twitter match the Instagram so it wouldn't be confusing, so they're both, like, at Offcells.
I wish we would have done that early in our podcast history. Our info is all, like, each social
it's
media
different.
Platform is different.
Oh,
it's so
my God.
At the end of every show, it's like, here's the rambling here's, list of
dude,
ways you can find us.
You guys gotta find a way to, like, unify.
It's because I'm
it's
old. I'm old and I didn't do it right.
The youngins do it for you. You slack it. That's a youngin. That's a. You still young at heart. I know you lying. You grumpy, but everyone gets grumpy.
No, I was. I'm totally.
You're
grumpy.
Definitely grumpy. Yeah. Oh,
well, Nips, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Wait, did you guys even tell me your names?
I'm Gabe. That's Juan.
Gabe and Juan. No, you didn't fucking tell me that. Gabe, Juan.
I think the guy that
I
brought you over just.
He was supposed. Oh, you guys are gonna blame me. I'm gonna blame him later too. So
be like, you didn't even introduce me to those sons of bitches.
You guys have been so sweet, dude.
Oh,
thanks.
Thank you.
I, like, ramble hella. Like, I was like, oh my God, I'm just gonna keep talking, and they're not gonna tell me that I'm being annoying. But you guys are so sweet.
You're not annoying.
Is it Florida?
Yeah, I'm Dominican. Yeah. That's can you tell?
I have a cousin. She's from Texas. You talk almost identical
really?
To her.
Oh my God. Nice.
From Mexico. So.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, I didn't want to assume. I was like, his name is Juan. I wonder if he's Hispanic. Like, he probably speaks Spanish.
We just had this really extended. This is
going
to go in, just so
oh,
you know.
It's going. It's
we had
going.
We had this really extended conversation because, like, we were talking about being Mexican American, and he's like, I'm not Mexican American. I was born in America, so I'm just Mexican, but I'm Hispanic.
Yeah.
And then this guy had done, and I'd seen it a couple years ago, but we were randomly talking about it. It popped up in my feed. This guy did this great comic that's just like, it's like probably like 4 pages of this is Latino, this is Hispanic, this is Mexican American.
They all mean different.
They all mean different things. So
oh,
like,
I need to look this up.
So,
I would
so
I'm
here's,
Mexican because I wasn't born in
yeah.
Mexico.
Well, I was
I'm
born.
Hispanic.
Yes, I was born in New York. So I'm, like, technically not Dominican.
Right.
But I feel more Dominican sometimes than American because, like, my parents are immigrants. So, like, Spanish is my first language. And, like, I would travel, like, for 3 or 4 months at a time, like, every year, like, when I was younger and spend a lot of time with my Dominican family over there. So a lot of the time, like, that's the culture I was brought up with. So, like, I know I shouldn't say probably I'm Dominican, but, like, that's what I feel like.
And that's okay.
But I'm technically American,
the
right?
The basic breakdown of, like, Hispanic versus Latino is Hispanic is someone that's Spanish language in origin. So, like, Spain
okay.
Or, like,
yeah.
You know, Mexico.
I'm literally half Spain, half Dominican,
yeah.
Actually.
So somebody that is Latino is somebody that originates from Latin America. So, like, South America.
Oh, that comes from.
So I think he said a Brazilian would be...
Latino, but not Hispanic, because they speak Portuguese.
Oh.
It's all very
confusing. You learn
confusing.
Something new every day.
Then I posted it
no,
on
I
our
love
page.
That. I would
What's
like
What's crazy
to go
is
see
I posted
that, yeah.
It on our page and, like, said, see, Juan and I, we were just talking about this, and some asshole's like, oh, but there's not different kinds of white. I'm like, oh, shut up.
Oh, my God, shut up. No. But
and when that
really
guy hears this, he's going to be like, be like, send the hate mail. I'm begging for it.
Send it, bitch. No, I would love to see that. That's really, like, the more you know, bro. Like, terms nowadays are, like, they're all for very specific things. And, like, sometimes we're, like, very loose with what we say. And we're just kind of like, yeah, I'm Hispanic. I'm Latina. Like, I'm whatever. Like, but there really is, like, a specific definition and things. So thank you for letting me. I definitely have to go check
words
that out.
Matter.
Yeah, words matter. It turns out words have meanings.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Yeah.
Well, Nips, thanks again for being
thank
on the
you,
show.
You.
We really, really
yeah.
appreciate it.
Oh, my God.
You're rambling. Perfect.
Yeah. I never heard that one before. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.